Welcome, everybody. This is the Wind and Water School of Feng Shui-sponsored speaker series. We are so glad to have you with us tonight. Tonight we have Don Morningstar with us, who is going to talk about the power of intentions, which is so close to the Feng Shui heart. So she's going to give us her perspective on that, and you will see how well it aligns with Feng Shui. And even if you're not that familiar with Feng Shui, you will get a little peek into that. And because as we talk tonight, I also have with us Carol Heider, who is going to, I'm sure, weave in some Feng Shui information as we usually do. And for those of you who don't know me, I'm Lisa Janis, and I am the registrar at the Wind and Water School of Feng Shui as well. So welcome, everybody. Welcome, Carol and Dawn.
Hey, thank you, Lisa. Lisa is also a partner in the Wind and Water School of Feng Shui. Yes, and she's faculty as well. Geez, Lisa, you kind of fell off the platform there. So, yeah, she's got more titles than I do. So.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's great to be here. We have a lot of fun with these speaker series, and this one is just so special to my heart because of who we have on the line with us, because I'm just excited about this. If you've not ever met Dawn Morningstar, well, you'll want to meet her in person after this.
You've missed out.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, welcome, Dawn. We're going to give you a chance to say something about yourself in a minute. I'm going to give everybody a little bit of a brief bio for you as an introduction, and then you know, part of the reason you're with us is because you personally know Carol, and everybody wants to know that. So we're going to ask Carol to talk to you about how you met. So welcome, Dawn.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. I've been looking forward to this call all day. And hello, everyone out there. It's really nice to be on the call with you. So
great. All right. Well, Dawn Morningstar is the founder of Venerable Women, a master coach, an author, a former radio talk show host, which you can tell by the soothing sound of her voice, and expert facilitator. So, you know, Dawn has been supporting women to manifest a kind and loving world for a very long time. She used to work as an account executive for a national staffing agency in Washington, D.C., and she also was a trainer for an international skincare company. She is a master coach. She's a certified master coach, and you know, she's a heart-centered entrepreneur. So she's launched two successful businesses, one that provided fundraising for public schools, daycare centers, and churches, and the other was coaching clients to live their highest and best lives. In 2007, she co-authored a book called Delicious Conversations, Arriving at Unexpected Moments of Joy, with Ruth M. Godfrey. And then in 2013, she founded Venerable Women, which is more than an organization. Dawn really looks at it as, I mean, I can tell just from talking to her, it's a passion, it's a philosophy, and it's a movement for women who want to, you know, manifest a kind and loving world. And really it all starts, as Dawn says, within themselves, within ourselves. Couldn't agree more. And her second book, Venerable Women, Transform Ourselves, Transform the World, is going to be, was released in the fall of 2016. So she might be making some references to that. So welcome, Dawn. Welcome, Carol, again. Welcome, everybody. And Carol, why don't you tell us your personal story of how you met Dawn?
Yeah, Dawn, we will get you to talk soon.
Oh, don't worry. You know I'll get my words in there somewhere.
But
no problem.
Yeah, this will take but a minute. I very early on, when I started kind of coming out as a feng shui person, I get a call one day from a woman named Dawn Morningstar, and I'm like, oh, who has a name like that? And she worked for Unity Church in Woodbury. And she said she wanted me to come and speak to her group, the group at the church. and it would be like an evening class. And I said, well, sure. But, you know, inside I thought, this is amazing. It's a church. I mean, usually people who go to church think this is just really edgy and on, you know, kind of dancing in sort of some dark circles. And as it turns out, I think Don did have to run interference. But anyway, I went, and I went more than once. I went a lot. Don called me back and called me back, and it was fabulous, and I made it such a nice connection with her. And then, you know how it is, all of a sudden you kind of lose track of somebody, and I heard that the Unity Church in Woodbury had closed. So now I didn't know where she was. And approximately 2 years ago, yeah, maybe two and a half now, I was at a networking event, and I looked across the room, and I thought, that is Dawn Morningstar. I had not seen her in probably 20 years, but she looked the same. And I went over there, and I said, oh, my God, is this Dawn? And we have been truly inseparable ever since.
It's true.
We did. It was like we found each other again, and we've done programs together, not only giving them but taking them, and she has just been such a great support for me in my life. And so it's just with such great honor and love and gratitude that you're here tonight, Dawn. I'm just thrilled, and everybody on this call is going to just love listening to Dawn. Not only is a wonderful person, but she has really a movement, as Lisa said. So welcome, Dawn.
Oh, thank you, Carol. Well, you know, everything you've said, multiply it by 100, and that's how I feel about you. And without making this into simply a call about mutual admiration, I must say that I really do want to acknowledge what you did all those many years ago when I first met you. You brought a concept that was unknown into the world by bringing, well, I shouldn't say into the world, but into this area of Minnesota. When you brought feng shui into our lives, people were hungry for a new concept, and you brought it, and you did all of the things that you needed to do to be such an amazing teacher and example of the feng shui principle. So I feel very honored that I got to watch that progression because I remember, to go back to your story about at the church where people in the community thought that when they saw the ad in the paper and saw that it was about feng shui, our church was not allowed to give food to the food shelves anymore because they thought we were doing something satanic and weird. Oh, and that, geez. Look at how far we've come. I mean, that was the late 90s. And now you can go into Target and buy a book on feng shui, and people just talk about it openly and all of that. So I want to acknowledge you for being a trailblazer all those many years ago, and all the people that you've helped over the years. It's extraordinary. So thank you.
Thank you. You sure helped along the way. So.
You guys.
I know. Now we get into some meaty stuff.
I know. Yes. No, it's always good to have. It's always good when you can keep a connection with somebody that you've had a connection and then see each other grow and be a part of it and be supportive, especially when you're both in a bit of, you know, you're both in a bit of an alternative place in terms of your businesses. Yeah. And so I think that is, you know, wonderful, wonderful thing. So,
yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, Dawn, I know one of the first questions I had when I learned your company name, and of course now it's the title of your book as well, is Venerable Women. And so why don't you tell us, for those of us on the call who may not know what it means, tell us what it means and then tell us how you came there, and why that was the word that you've decided to push forward.
Yes. Well, I had been coaching women in groups and individually and in audiences as a speaker for many, many years. And I was doing individual coaching for both women and men, and, you know, people in all different lifestyles. I coached ministers and doctors and lawyers and teachers and healers and all different kinds of people. And I did that for many years, and I loved coaching, and I still do, because imagine what it's like to be able to witness someone living their most extraordinary version of their lives thus far. It's just a beautiful profession to have. So I loved it, and yet I would say about 5 years ago, I felt this calling to try to figure out how I could serve at an even higher level and serve more people. And this came about after I had coached someone. I was on an individual coaching call, and when I hung up the phone, I thought, my goodness, what I just talked about with this woman, what would it be like if many more people could hear that instead of just that woman? And that's what got me thinking about how I could serve. And then the next question became, who would I want to serve? Who was, in essence, my tribe? Who is it that I wanted to be able to work with and grow with and inspire? And so I searched for a way to describe the people that I wanted to work with, and I realized that it's women who are on a spiritual journey of some sort, or who are on a self-discovery journey of some sort, or they feel that they want to make a difference in the world in some big way or small way, but they just know they want to make a difference in the world. They feel like they're here for on this earth at this time for a particular reason. And so I could not figure out how to describe them. I thought, well, maybe they're wise women. And then somebody said, well, you know, maybe they're women of a certain age, and no woman likes being referred to that way. So it's like, no, I think we'll skip that one. And so I thought of all of these different phrases, and then I literally asked the universe, I asked the divine, I prayed, and said, please, you know, tell me how to describe this group. And the word venerable literally just came out of nowhere, and I said, really? I'm not even sure I totally know what that means myself. I think it kind of means holy or something. And so anyway, I looked it up, and venerable means worthy of honor and respect by virtue of wisdom and experience. And it also means profoundly honorable. So that was the original definition. And then I added the word love, worthy of honor, love, and respect by virtue of wisdom and experience. And I thought to myself in that moment, what would it be like if every woman, man, and child saw themselves as worthy of honor, love, and respect, and saw themselves as profoundly honorable? What would that world look like? And I knew I wanted to be a part of creating that world.
You know, many of us, and many of us women of a certain age, we were probably not Lisa because she's so young.
That's right.
Some of us. I mean, we grew up always having this question about our value and our worth and how we could contribute. I mean, it sort of came with the territory. And so when you talk about creating this movement about women being venerable and being worthy, that's just like a real awakening for so many of us. Now, I happen to know, because I know Dawn, and I've heard this story, and it is in her book, you had quite an experience about this worthiness thing that I think is really the impetus behind this movement that you're creating. Do you mind sharing that?
It's kind
Not
of
at personal.
All. Yeah, and it actually was two things that inspired me. The one, of course, was my story, which I'll tell in a moment. And the other was that quote by the Dalai Lama, when the Dalai Lama said that the world will be saved by the Western woman. That really intrigued me, and I remembered thinking to myself, well, the only way that the world can be saved by the Western woman is if the Western woman saves herself. And that had been my journey. Mm-hmm. So when I was a baby, my mom dropped me off at my grandmother Rosie's house one Saturday evening, I believe it was, and she never came back. She never called or sent a present for my birthday. I never saw her. And so the first part of my life was spent being passed around from person to person while someone decided who was going to take me in. I was told later on that, you know, my things were all in a cardboard box, and my diapers, my toys, my bottles, and that I was passed from person to person until finally my grandmother, when she really realized that my mom was not coming back, my grandmother Rosie said that she would raise me as her own child. And now, you know, Rosie had already raised her children. She was looking forward to retirement, and yet she made this beautiful, kind gesture to me, and she always took really beautiful care of me. And so I've had people through the years say, well, gosh, Dawn, you know, yes, your mother left, but you had this woman who cared about you and loved you and took good care of you. You know, you should have been okay. And I thought that myself. I thought, well, I should be okay. And yet, in my little girl mind growing up, I always wondered. I knew my mother was alive. I knew she lived in the same area as we did. And whenever I would ask my grandmother Rosie about my mom, she would pull out a little picture. I can still remember it. I still have the picture of my mom and dad on their wedding day. And, you know, and she would say, this is your mom, Vicki, and she loves you very much. And then she would change the subject, and she wouldn't take any more questions from me. And so I grew up thinking that I must have been a really, really bad baby or a bad person or a bad something, and that I was not worth my mother's love, my own mother who was alive. And it tortured me all those years as a little child, and no one would tell me what the reasoning was. And, of course, in those days, we're talking many years ago, people didn't tell, you know, adults thought that children couldn't, you know, handle explanations of a certain sort, so a lot of times they just wouldn't say anything. And I'm sure there are probably heads shaking on this call right now that, yes, that's how it was. You just didn't say anything. You just, you know, dealt with what was in front of you. So that pain stayed with me, and then I finally, as I got older, I saw that I was taking in, having toxic relationships with people and staying in those relationships too long. I was not living up to my full potential career-wise, and so I finally decided to get help. And so I did some psychological counseling. I got therapy. I did spiritual counseling. I hired a life coach, and that was one of the most transformational things I did, was hiring a life coach. And so all of that got me to a place of really understanding my own worth, and that probably the biggest piece to that was that worthiness is an inside job. It's not an outside job. And whenever we look to anyone to validate us, including one's own mother, it never works. And so I set out on a quest to find out exactly how to identify and share with people how the idea of worthiness plays out in our lives and how we can really embrace feeling worthy. And, you know, then I did, as an aside, I did end up meeting my mom when I was 16 years old, and the story is very, very touching, and it's in my book, just to say that we did meet and we did end up having a relationship that lasted through the end of her life when she made her transition in 2008.
Hmm. Wow.
Every time I hear that story, I'm just, you know, dumbfounded, you know. It's such an amazing, you know, it was like it was setting you up for the work that you are doing now, really. I mean, mm-hmm. it really took that kind of a jolt, if you will, or experience maybe is a better word, to open up the your heart to what that all meant.
It's very
well, yeah.
Silly, you know. Yeah, I'm sorry, Lisa. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a lot to overcome, you know, and everybody has. I mean, your story is so powerful, but even you know, everybody has a piece of their story like that. That's something. There was some moment or some situation that transformed them, or you know, maybe not for the better, and where they're seeking something, and you really took that situation and turned it around.
Thank you for acknowledging that. And, you know, Lisa, that's exactly what I was going to say, is that we all, each and every one of us, has our story. There's no question about that. We each have our story. And sometimes those big stories in our lives, or even the really painful stories in our lives, they can be those points that give us the greatest clues how we can be of service later in our lives. You know,
sure.
I mean, you know, I've in my coaching over the years, I saw that so much, like where someone would talk about their story. And by the way, I share my story as an illustration point, really, but I've done my work around this, and I don't really feel, you know, pain and agony from it like I did for many years. And that's the thing, is we don't want to get stuck in our story. We want to remain fluid so that we can take the lesson from it or the inspiration from it and really feel what we need to feel. We always have to do that. But then move on and see, like, become curious and see, what is this leading me to, you know, following those breadcrumbs.
Well, yeah, you know, it's interesting because it has such a direct alignment with feng shui, because the you know, part of what I see in that message is a big message of empowerment, which is what, you know, feng shui is that, like, you've taken your story and you did all the work behind it so that you could get to this point, and then you even had a relationship with your mother. And, you know, I mean, that's just amazing. And so, just like you said, with everybody's story, feng shui gives people that type of empowerment where you can take a look at your space and you can make changes that will affect you in a big and significant way. And what's interesting is that, again, another alignment is that in feng shui, we're always talking about intention. That, I mean, sure, you could move something here or there, but really what we want to get to is we want to get to your intention. And we've heard you talk about that too, about the importance of intention in your own work. And so it's just amazing how you can have, you know, these two, I don't know if you would call them even schools of thought, but you have these sort of two parallel lines running along intention. So why don't you talk to us a little bit more about how you see that importance?
Yes. Well, you know, intention, that word has gotten a bad rap over the years, too. I think the expression, the road to hell is paved with good intentions, rang out when I first, you know, when I first heard it as a child. I really want to give that word a new meaning, a new feeling, and perhaps change that to the road to heaven on earth is paved with our intention, with our intuition and our feeling. You know, like so many old sayings, the idea simply needed updating to match our new awareness and to match our new consciousness. And, you know, another little aside, many of the things that we've been taught have been just out-and-out lies. I don't think people meant to lie to us. I think it was misinformation in some cases. But I really do love the idea of reclaiming these words and the feelings behind them so that we can move forward in our lives. And, you know, I think of intention as focus. And it's like when we focus on what we want to see and experience in our lives and use intuition to guide us and then feelings to manifest, we receive concrete results. I mean, it's just the way it works. So those three things together are one of the V attitudes or the venerable attitudes that's in my book, and there are 12 paths to living our highest and best lives. And, you know, this ties in perfectly with the attitude number 4, which is that a venerable woman creates and manifests powerfully by using intention, intuition, and feeling. I mean, take that in, that a venerable woman creates and manifests powerfully. I mean, we have that within us, and it's true. That's what feng shui is. It's a physical reminder and a spiritual reminder to know that we are manifestors, we are creators, and that, you know, and then what I do with that is say, okay, these are three ways that I know that we can manifest and create powerfully, and this means anything. We can manifest anything that we want, and, you know, by using our intention and our intuition and our feeling. So, yeah, it's a really... You know, it's like since we have passed into this age of Aquarius back in December 21st, 2012, we're in this age of it's the feminine divine. It's flow, it's spirit, it's movement, it's collaboration, it's love, it's joy, and it's power within and power with one another. Not the old paradigm that we just got out of, which was patriarchal, it was power over, it was everything was matter, it was only what you could see and touch, it was not what you could create, it was not collaboration but competition. So what an exciting time to be alive right now, you mm-hmm. know, and those of us who are awakening and finding one another to walk on this path together, we are the ones who are transforming the world. We are the ones that we've been waiting for. Thank you, Hopi Elder, for that saying. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, intention is a beautiful, beautiful key to unlock that door of creating and manifesting powerfully.
So, Dawn.
Yes.
This manifestation and, you know, being empowered and setting intention, you know, I'll tell you the thing, I bet you see this as well, but the thing I see women struggle with a lot is money.
Yeah.
Because money equals empowerment, money equals freedom, money equals, success. In our society, if you don't have money, you don't probably have the others, unless you're very evolved. So is that, first of all, I guess I want to ask if that's what you're also discovering, because you're working with women exclusively. And so then I see how this ties in. I mean, like, I guess I want to hear from you how you're putting that piece into the Venerable Women movement.
Oh, that's a great question. Well, gosh, there's so many ways. One of the things that I would say is that where this all came from is historical. I mean, I write a whole chapter in my book about how women got to lose belief in their own worthiness and consequently weren't able to manifest or attract what they wanted and needed in the areas of finances and property even and all of that. So it's historical in nature. I mean, some believe that, and there's research to prove this, and I list this in my book as well, that there were societies in ancient times that were led by women and that they were considered to be the spiritual leaders and the healers of their village or community, and that would stand to reason because women generally are the ones who are there when someone is making their transition or dying, when someone is being born, when someone is sick. So the women are right there, so it would stand to reason that they would hold that sacred role in their community. So they were leaders in that way. And I also, just as an aside, I really always like to make this clear, I don't believe that women should rule the world. That's not what this movement is about. This is more about a healthy version of the feminine and a healthy version of the masculine linking their energies together rather than one being hierarchically, you know, above the other. That doesn't work. We've tried that. It doesn't work. So So getting back to this idea of how did we get to be like this? How did women get to be in this place? Well, so we go from hallowed roles of respect and, you know, being honored in as having important roles. And there were some cultures and societies where the property passed from the mother to the daughter, and the names also passed from mother to daughter. So the family name was the woman's name. So imagine all of that is happening, and then patriarchy starts coming in, and it turns out that, you know, women are, you know, demoted from their positions of spiritual leaders. And in the Catholic Church, for example, women still can't be leaders, you know. So it's still pervasive in our society. I know we've done much better. But the point is that that was what was in our DNA, that we are demoted. We're told that, you know, we're basically given away in marriage rights as property. We are not allowed to control our own money or our own property or, in many cases, our own lives. I mean, many women were not even allowed to read. And so you take all of that into consideration, and then there are many other factors that play into it as well. But you take a look at just that piece, and I would say that, you know, women are behind. We are behind. We trail behind men in areas of economics and certain social things and all that. And again, yes, it's getting better, but we are still not caught up as women. We're just not caught up yet. So that's why I think movements like Venerable Women, where we come together in circle, we come together in on our live calls. We do things like we do feng shui so that we understand that we can control our internal environments. So we're doing these things. We are waking up. We are claiming our worth and remembering that it's an inside job and that we have to claim it. Nobody's going to give it to us. We have to claim it. And when we do claim our worth, then we're more confident in the world. And then we are able to serve the very people that we want to serve, if that's a desire of ours, because we feel worthy because we've taken care of ourselves. We've taken care of our own internal needs. So that's one perspective on how we got to be that way and what we can do realistically. I mean, these are real things we can do. And I see it every day in the groups of women and the individual women I've coached over the years. When they finally get these pieces figured out and practice them on a consistent basis in a community of people who are equally committed, all kinds of magic happens. There is no stopping women then, no stopping us at all.
Well, let's talk about that. I mean, for some of us, it seems like you can put out the best intentions possible, but some of these are almost, you know, deep-seated beliefs. And, you know, like you've been saying, it's this internal work that has to be done, which is absolutely true. And some people just get stuck even getting to that internal work. And so, you know, I've heard you mention before that you have a unique method that can help people unbind themselves from those, I mean, really, it's generational beliefs, negative generational beliefs. So would you be willing to share that or some of that with us tonight?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you're right, there is that generational, I think many of us are saying that, you know, we have inherited, generationally speaking, much of what has come before us. And I love the idea of healing seven generations back and seven generations forward. So that we're in a unique position to be able to do that because our own individual healing and grasping of these ideas and living, you know, the best lives that we can, it really does reflect well on past generations of our families and future generations. It sets them up for greater success as well. So I spent a month in India in late 2015, 21 days in the silence, being taught by dasas, who are enlightened monks, and we chanted in Sanskrit. We examined our beliefs, and we had the beautiful experience of receiving very, very meaningful and deep teachings from these dasas. And this is something that I learned from them, and I just think that it is an extraordinary a process that anybody can do, and this is how it works. So I guess maybe to back up a little bit, maybe it's like for some people on the path of healing or spirituality or self-discovery, those who live to heal and serve and make a difference in the world, sometimes they believe that wealth and prosperity and abundance is a struggle for them, because it is a struggle for them. And the struggle might grow out of the idea that to serve or to be spiritual means that they should separate themselves from money. And even if they're not consciously aware of that within themselves, or they may believe that having a prosperous life is for others, not for them, because that's some programming that some of us got growing up. I got that myself when we would ride through, you know, beautiful neighborhoods on a Sunday drive, and there'd be these big, beautiful houses. And I'd say, oh, I want to live in a house like that when I grow up. And my grandmother and father would say, oh, no, that's not for us. That's for rich people, you know. And so it's this idea of how we're programmed. But anyway, I've seen this belief system show up many times over the year, but I know that there's a path out of that experience of lack, because there is plenty for everyone all the time. Why not each one of us, you know? So a tool that we can look, that we can use, is to look back in past lives for vows of poverty we may have taken at some point. Now, maybe not everyone on the call believes in the idea of past lives, but I think it's worth considering that either in a past life or maybe at some point in this life, we took our own version of a vow of poverty. So the process to undo this is simply to go into a quiet state, be in a conscious presence with your divine, whatever that is for you, and ask to be shown a time in the past when you may have said yes to remaining impoverished by taking a vow of poverty. So you could have been a nun or a monk or a priest or another religious or holy person or servant in a past life, or anyone at all, really. And saying yes to that vow was usually based on a person's desire to be close to their divine. And, you know, they probably were taught some version of, again, the Bible verse. What is it? Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for someone who's rich to enter the kingdom of God. And so no wonder this lack consciousness has become so ingrained in the human psyche. So, you know, and then an aside to this is there's nothing wrong at all with choosing to live simply and with few possessions, as long as it's a reason, it's because you want that and it makes sense to you and it aligns with the life that you want to be living. But if you want to decide and go back to this process, all you need to do is just go into the quiet, have an idea of a time when you may have taken a vow of poverty in your past, and go back to yourself in that life. And you may not be the same sex or have the same religion or spiritual belief in that past life that you do now, but that doesn't matter. But just be open to what you see in your mind's eye and go into as much or little detail as you want. And your goal is to visit yourself as you were then and with great understanding and compassion. So you bring your wise, loving, enlightened self of today into this process, and you let yourself from the past know that what you had done by taking that vow of poverty was from your heart, and it was for an important reason, and that you understand. And then invite yourself in that past life to understand that you're choosing a new vow now, a vow of abundance, a vow of prosperity, and a vow of generosity. and then let that previous you know that you appreciate the sacrifices that were made, but that this is a brand new day and you're ready to move on. And the interesting thing about this is this process can liberate the you from your past as well.
Hmm.
So that's the process.
That's great.
I know it. That is so, so I'll tell you what's so cool about that. Not only is it the cool piece about just releasing it, but the cool piece is that we have come so far that we can do that on our own. You know, it used to be, and not this that many years ago, where it would require somebody to take you into a past life.
Yeah.
And now, and it could be a number of reasons, we've kind of evolved more, or the idea of a past life is sort of more generally accepted. I don't know, but just to hear you say that, it's like, well, of course, you know, you just sit and go to a past life. 10 years ago, people would go, I don't know how to do that. I don't even know what you're talking about. But
yeah,
I love that piece. But I also love the part about separating yourself from that old belief, because that, I mean, that's just a powerful way of saying that was me. That's part of who I am, but it is not. It is not impacting my life now. I'm not taking that on anymore. I've outgrown it.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you brought up a good point, Carol, about what I call quickening. We are living in time where it's true. You said that we are more enlightened, and it's true. Many of us are awakening, and, you know, and again, things like feng shui were a part of that process. And so in this quickening time, it's even, I even believe that things that, like, for example, when people were in therapy for years and years and years and years and years, you know, I think there's even a quickening there. I mean, not to say people don't need therapy. I would never say that. But it's just, it doesn't, things are happening faster because we are more enlightened and because we're ready. So you're right, past life, you don't need an intermediary. You can do it yourself. And, you know, and the divine is waiting for that to happen. I mean, the divine is conspiring for our evolution. It's just us who get in our own way, and so I think we're being led to say, I'm not going to do it that way anymore.
And that, well, right there is empowering, that you can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dawn, in feng shui, we have a lot of meditations, and we lead people to, you know, certain, I guess, we have them visualize and get to a certain place. So I really like this about exploring a past life. What kinds of advice do you have with people who are like, I have no idea even how to get there. I can get to a quiet space. I can meditate. But how can I get to this place, this past life I need to be? Do you have any thoughts on how people can do that?
I absolutely do. And it's a one-word answer, and that's intuition. Just when we get into that quiet space and we, you know, have this heart that is willing and open to have this change happen, and, you know, we obviously have an intention in this, and all we need to do is open to our intuition and trust what we feel. I know that that's a practice to begin to learn to trust our intuition. Because sometimes we'll, you know, our mind can say, oh, you just made that up. That's stupid, you know. And but, you know, if we really are coming at this with a very intentional heart, and we are asking, you know, with the greatest love and gratitude that we can, and then we get into that quiet space and say, please show me where in the past I may have taken a vow of poverty. Please show that to me. And then get really quiet and just wait for what happens. And you will be shown something. And it may not be like you seeing a picture of yourself sitting at a desk, but you may get a feeling of something. And just go with that. And even if you don't have the whole thing, you don't need a big production here. All you need to do, or all you are invited to do, is to ask that that vow of poverty be undone. And I'm getting chills as I say it because you can just do it that easily.
Yeah.
And if you can't find a specific thing, just ask and just even say, I don't know where it is. I can't find it. Will you please undo it for me? Help it be undone. I'm ready to be complete with this.
Oh, that's great.
You know, Don, another thing that helps that I've had, that I've done for myself and I've suggested other people do is just to say, well, I don't know what it is, but I'm going to imagine something. I'm just going to
yeah.
use my imagination. And because your imagination is not nothing.
Right, exactly.
You know, exactly. It's something. And so if suddenly Lisa's sitting there and she goes, oh, okay, I'm a princess and I gave all my money away. I mean, where would that have come from? That came
mm-hmm.
from somewhere.
That's
that
right.
That image dropped in. And that's a place to really start, and it becomes really valid. And you can, you know, like there was, it sort of gives you permission to just let go. I'll
yeah.
just imagine something. And so that's always, that's helped me a lot. It's just like, well, I'm going to imagine what's happening here. And
yeah.
sure enough, you know, that's usually what's happening. So.
Yes, yes, that's very powerful, very
yeah.
powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, this is what the feminine divine allows. The feminine divine, the spirit of the feminine divine, which is within each of us, it allows for things like imagination. It allows
mm-hmm.
for things like this quickening to happen. It allows
mm-hmm.
for the ease and grace to flow through these processes so that we can live the lives that we came here to live and to do the things that we came here to do with joy. And, you know, it's a very exciting time to be alive. It might not look like it to us sometimes when we look in the outer, but
yeah.
I will tell you mm-hmm. what, I don't believe humanity's ever been more blessed and more imbued with the power to make huge changes in the world. And I would say that, you know, whenever we talk about power in Venerable Women, it's never power over. It's power within and power with one another. That's another way that we see the world a little bit differently. But it's in seeing the world and being in the world in venerable ways, feeling the sense of worth that we have in the world, that we really do transform the world around us. It's the only way that it'll work, really.
Yeah, yeah. You just said it so beautifully. I think that... there are women, I don't know any, but there are women who believe that it's their time to take over. And I think I had to get over that myself. I thought that was our only answer for a while, is just let women be priests, let women be president, let women sort this out. But you really hit on it. That's not the answer either. It's
yeah.
got to be, it, you know, it's like then the pendulum just going to swing the other way.
Right.
It's like there has to be a way to meld those two.
Yeah, we've had enough pendulum swinging. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I would like to, you know, I'd like to see things be a little bit more balanced and more beautiful the way that they can be. And
yeah.
So, yeah, I just think that, you know, the many of the things that we've grown up believing and been taught and that we kind of maybe misunderstood along the way, it's so beautiful that all those things can be undone. And it's really not, it's not hard. It's just
yeah.
a matter of
mm-hmm.
being aware of it and saying, oh, I'm going to see this differently. I'm going to say this differently. I'm going to be different. My actions will be different now. And
yeah.
that's what the whole Venerable Movement is about.
And I have to just tell you, I have to make a link here between this and what you just said about actions, because feng shui always starts with intention. You know, what is the
yes.
intention? And then from there, there's some change that that happens. It's a behavioral change. It's a mindset change. You know, your space changes. But that behavior, when you go from intention to behavior or thought, that is the destiny-changing aspect.
Yes.
If you just try to do the change your behavior without an intention, it has no lasting you don't have the foundation if you try to just have an intention and then don't act on it. But when you get an intention that moves into action, that puts you into some sort of change, that's when your destiny changes, and it truly does. I know it's a strong word, but it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is the word. It is what happens.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't you tell us about your book, Dawn? I see that time is going by so quickly.
Oh, you said this was going to happen, and you were right. It just flew by.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm happy to say that my book, Venerable Women, Transform Ourselves, Transform the World, it's really a culmination of my life's work and everything I've discovered along the way, and, you know, contains the 12 Venerable Attitudes, or Beatitudes, and women are practicing them all over the United States and other parts of the world now, and I'm happy to say that I've just received awards from the Midwest Independent Book Awards and also the International Book Awards. I just found out yesterday that I'm a winner in a finalist in the category of inspiration, which is really beautiful in and of itself. It's really nice to acknowledge. Yeah,
that's
it's nice.
Congratulations!
Thank you. But you know, that's all great, and I was very happy to get that email. But I have to say, the thing I'm happiest about is to know that there are women who are going to hold this little book of theirs in their hands, and that they are going to become liberated. They're going to be free, and they're going to get to live the life that they really want to live. Because mm-hmm. I know for a fact, even though I wrote the book, I still study the book myself. I go back mm-hmm. to it. And I know that it's not the only tool in the world, of course. There's some great tools out there, but it certainly is a beautiful way to live in alignment with who you came here to be. And so it's available at one Barnes & Noble, our first one here in Minnesota at Harmar Mall on Snelling Avenue. And it's available on Amazon and some other bookstores as well. It's been just such a delight to write this book, and then to I committed to doing 50 talks in 50 weeks, and I just completed talk number 50 on Sunday evening, this past Sunday, after 28 weeks, and I talked
about
the book.
So you didn't need us tonight then.
Oh, yes, I do. Always need you guys, of course, yeah. But yeah, so you're number 51. Actually, no, you're number one, because I'm starting over.
Oh.
So there you go, you're
I
number
see.
One. I love it.
Oh, that is so cool. So you've got some, this is a lovely book. It is one of those pondering books where you read some and then you just really have to sit back and think. It's just like Dawn is talking, that's how her book reads. It's like
you'll
hear her voice now if you've listened
to
this, because it is. It's
so
it's,
true.
Yeah, it's really, it's lovely.
That's so true.
Yeah, and it's very empowering. I love this little book of yours, Dawn.
Thank you.
You know, tell them what your next book is going to be.
Well, I'm writing a children's book called
Oh, no,
the
not
Happy...
that one. Not
oh, which
that one?
The Venerable Men book?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
I can't decide whether to work on the men book or the children's book first. So
yeah.
They're actually kind of happening simultaneously. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, she is writing a children's book. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I had Venerable Men on my mind.
Yes. As a matter
so
of fact,
the children's,
we just talked. Yeah.
Yeah, the children's book is in process. Is that correct?
Yes, I've just done the first 3 drawings for it, and just to illustrate. But anyway, that's for another conversation. But, you know, for people who want to hear more about these different concepts that are in the book, you know, getting the book is great. It's an e-book as well. But also, we have a podcast out, and it's called Venerable, V-E-N-E-R-A-B-L-E, and you can find it on iTunes or wherever it is that you hear podcasts. And that's another way that you can stay engaged in the conversation about how to, you know, keep your intentions and your life moving in a direction that you want it to go. So, yeah.
And what else? You have something else, some other thing happening, right?
I do. Well, I would love for everyone on the call to see if this resonates with you. We have something called VENI Connect. It's short for Venerable Connection. And it's a live call once a month that is a meditation and a teaching from the Beatitudes, and then open discussion where we open up the lines and people can talk about what's going on in their lives. And we do that on the third Tuesday of the month, and then we have replays available because I know people are really busy. So VENI Connect is a live call. When people join, it's our membership program. When people join, they get discounts on Venerable Women Fair Trade products. And the membership also supports the work that we do in women's prisons, halfway houses, and shelters. This is some really lovely work that we're doing because we feel like when people are either incarcerated or making a big transition in their lives, like going through treatment, it's a perfect time to embrace a new way of life. So this membership helps to support the work that we're doing there. And plus, the other benefit to VENI Connect is that we just created our own private web forum. It's like our own Facebook called Ven Chat. And so people who join the membership get those benefits. And so the cost of that, it's very reasonable because we want anybody who wants to be a part of it to be a part of it. So the yearly membership is $120 a year, but if you decide you want to do VENI Connect, just go on to venerablewomen.com, and I think Lisa said she would send this information out to you tomorrow.
You don't even have to give them the details if you don't want.
Oh, good.
Don.
Okay,
I'm
good.
Putting everything in the email. As Don said, that she has this great special offer, and it'll say right in the email to take advantage of the offer. You visit the page, you put in the code, you pick what you want, and all of that will be straight from the email if you'd like to do that.
Yeah, and I'm excited about the bonuses that go with it because one of them is the five expressions of venerable being, which is amazing. It shows you, it's a bonus recording, and it shows you where you've been on your spiritual journey and where you are and where you may want to go for yourself, but it's also really good for understanding others in your life, like where they might be in their journey, so that we can be more kind and compassionate with one another. So anyway, that's one of the bonuses.
Pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, we are
done. This was
cool.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Just fabulous.
Thank you. I thank you so much for this opportunity. I really loved it. And, again, thank you for all of your feng shui work because I know that that energetically is changing the world as well.
Of course it is.
Yes, it is. We know it is, too.
Yeah. Well, yes, thank you, Dawn, for being with us tonight. This was a very intriguing speaker series. And thank all of you who are listening, or if you're listening to the recording, thank you for signing up for this event. We had a great time tonight. I think we got some very valuable insight that you can use right away. I love the theory of unbinding from negative generational beliefs. I like that we are working with each other, not power over. I mean, there were so many great themes, I think, that emerged this evening.
So,
hopefully you can keep that and manifest it into being your best self, as they say. Also, for those of you on the call, as we said, we'll send out the recording information, and so all of the information on how to get the special offer of the 20% discount for VENI Connect, as well as those bonuses, that will be in there. If you aren't on the Wind and Water mailing list, when you sign up for this call, you likely will be put on it. If for some reason you don't get something, do sign up for our newsletter where we let you know about other free special events like this. We do these spook series calls every once in a while. They're fabulous. We always have somebody fabulous. And we also do free feng shui articles. So definitely sign up for our newsletter. if you're interested in some feng shui classes, definitely go to our website. Our professional certification program is currently in process. Our next one will start in March of 2018. But if you need something to do in the meantime, we do have a great online program called Set Sail, which doesn't certify you, but really will help you get your own space in order. And if that's something you're not sure you can do, if you'd rather have more structure, it is very likely that we're going to be offering Set Sail in the fall as a 9-week program. So you can look for information for that, because some people just need that accountability piece to keep moving forward. And Carol and I had a great time doing that last year. So we're going to offer it
again. That'll be a virtual program.
Yes, and
we also have a membership program, which you can find information about as well. And so it's a series of quick, short emails every month, and you get all sorts of little information about feng shui.
Yes, and it might be little, but it is significant. That's what I like about our membership program as well, is that you get things that you can put into practice right away. And then also the other thing I think is a bonus of those membership emails is finding out the lucky days, Carol.
Yes.
Sometimes I plan some of my week around that, because I like to make sure the energy is at its height for certain things. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, once again, from the Wind and Water School of Feng Shui, thank you all for being with us. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Dawn. And
thank you, Lisa.
Yes, thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Stay vulnerable, everybody.
Be vulnerable. Go to that quiet space. Think about your intention. Listen to your intuition. And just feel that empowerment come through so that you can be your highest and best self, as Dawn would say. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Night.